father. He was a physician by trade, but he was a believer nonetheless through and through. And he was the most comprehensive writer of all the four Gospels. The most comprehensive Gospel is the Gospel of Luke. I would like to say and like to submit that due to his background of being a scientist, he was very titular in his details and very careful to be as accurate and precise in his writings. Then when you add the movement of the Holy Spirit to that, you're going to have a most excellent piece of writing about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the book of Luke, the common theme is God's compassion upon man. And, you know, John describes Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The Son of God, his deity, his power, his essence. But in the book of Luke, Luke describes Jesus as the Son of Man, okay? Son of Man, meaning that the perfect man, Jesus Christ, has come to earth to show compassion to those who don't deserve it. We see in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that was none other than Jesus the Christ, and to those who believe upon him shall have what? Everlasting life. Amen. By this time, you should have the book of Luke, chapter 1, starting in verse 5. And when you have it, say amen. Okay. The title of my message today is The Compassion of Christ. The Compassion of Christ. When we look at the word of compassion, according to Webster's dictionary, compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate their suffering. Let me say that again. Compassion is when someone has a longing to alleviate pressure, stress, duress, distress, or pain of someone who's caught up in a misfortune. Let me say that one more time. Compassion is no small word. It's not an ice cream and cookie word. It's not a marshmallowy term. Compassion means that the one who qualifies to have compassion rendered upon him or her must be in dire straits or in terrible suffering. Jesus had the ultimate compassion on mankind because we were sinners who were lost and could not find our way. So it was the compassion of Yahweh, the compassion of Jehovah God, to be the Jireh, provide a lamb who taketh away the sins of the world. Y'all walking with me? Have you ever needed compassion? Well, y'all not walking with me? Have you ever been in a place in your life where you were in a quandary? A quandary or a quagmire or a catch-22 between a rock and a hard place. Have you ever run out of rope to hold on to? Have you ever run out of prayers to even pray? Have you ever run out of tears to come out the ducts of your eyes? If you haven't been there, well, you have not experienced the compassion of Christ. But it's one thing to have compassion, but compassion means that you also have the authority or you have the power to help solve somebody's problem. When someone begs for mercy, they're begging for mercy from someone who has more power than they have. If you're begging your bill collector to show you mercy, that means the bill collector has the authority to say, I'm not going to send you to court. What better person to get mercy from than not the bill collector, not someone we owe, but God himself. The one who wakes up us every morning, the one who clothes us in our right minds, the one who can cause the sun to rise and the sun to set at the same time. The one who holds the world in his hand on nothing and lets it revolve at the right speed that we don't fall to the left or fall to the right because of the gravitational pull. The same one who's the Alpha and Omega. What better person to get compassion from than none other than Jesus the Christ? He says in Colossians, by Christ, all things are held together. Y'all not walking with me this morning? You're thinking about the clouds in the sky, thinking about the rain on the ground. I'm here to talk to someone today who needs some compassion. I know I need a lot of it. I'm talking about someone who needs a strong hand of God to move on their behalf, to quiet the mouths of their critics. Y'all not walking with me? I need compassion. I don't need attention from people. I need attention from God. I need his undivided attention. Is anybody walking with me today? Verse 5 says, in the days of Herod. Now, he starts out by talking about days. Now, days has the idea of a time period. Are you with me? For example, we have over 45 presidents of the United States of America. So some presidents did two terms. That would be equivalent to 8 years. Amen? So during a particular presidency, certain things in history occurred. Like in the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, during the days of Abraham Lincoln, we had the Emancipation Proclamation. Are you with me? And every president basically was integral in the days in which the people were held hostage by. Herod was a descendant of Esau. Did you know that? King Herod ran Judea, but King Herod was a wicked man. King Herod did a lot of wicked things that I don't have time to talk about, and John the Baptist, his birth is being prophesied in this particular context here. But my question is, saints, what days are you in right now? See, Luke says, let me start you off. In the days where it wasn't good. This wasn't the sunshiny days. This was like the Great Depression for believers. In the days of King Herod. What days are you in right now? But see, it doesn't matter what day you're in. It's about who holds that day in his hand. Oh, man. Y'all not. This is blessing me. See, a lot of times we got our focus on the wrong day. Yes, these are hard days right now. Yes, these are sorrowful days right now. Yes, this particular day that I find myself in, I seem to get pressure and I seem to get distressed and I seem to get letdowns after letdowns and disappointment after disappointment. These are the days that I'm in. But I'm not looking at the days anymore. I'm looking at he who holds the days. Is anybody with me? He says, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest, let the church say priest, named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God. Let the church say righteous. See, it doesn't matter what day we find ourselves in. We have a responsibility to remain righteous regardless of the day that we're in. Is anybody with me? It says, you got a couple here. Zacharias is a priest, and his wife, Elizabeth, is from the priesthood of Aaron. And it says they were both righteous in the sight of who? Walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they, let the church say but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. They were both advanced in years. Okay, so here I have a Jewish couple who are of a priestly lineage who have no children. Okay, and on top of that, they are advanced in years. Scholars believe they're between 60 and 80 years old at this time. Okay? Now, you got to understand how important it was for a Jewish woman to have a male child. They were looked at disgracefully if they did not have a male child, but even more if they didn't have any children. So can you imagine all these years, Elizabeth is going to the temple with her husband, and she's having to prepare herself for these other church women who may have 5, 6, 7 children to say, Elizabeth, you don't have any children? Imagine the pain as a Jewish woman, knowing that she's righteous, but she's not getting what she so desires. Let me tell us something, saints. God may not give you everything you pray for. But that does not negate the fact that you still shouldn't serve him. Even though Elizabeth is in pain, she's barren. It didn't say she lost and had a miscarriage. It says she was barren, meaning that she was infertile. She could not have children, no matter what they did. You still with me? And then to add insult to injury, it says both were advanced in years. Does this sound familiar? Y'all remember a couple in the Old Testament back in Genesis by the name of Abraham and Sarah? And the Bible declares that Abraham was 90 years old or 98 years old, 99 years old, don't know the exact, but Sarah was in her late 80s. And the angel of the Lord came into Abraham right before he went to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, before I go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, this time next year, you're going to have a son. And the Bible says Sarah was in her tent overhearing the conversation. And she, really? Really? I'm too old to have pleasure with my husband. And he's too old to have pleasure with me. And then the angel looked at her and said, Sarah, why are you laughing? For there's nothing. No. See, if you don't get nothing from this sermon today, walk out with here with this. See, God will wait till the situation seems impossible, and then he will show up, and he will say, why are you laughing? Why do you think I can't pull you out? Why do you think I can't heal this person at the last minute when you've given up all hope? Why do you laugh at me? I'm God all by myself. And I don't take counsel from any man or doctor or lawyer or judge or school system. Y'all don't want to hear the word today. Y'all don't need no compassion. My first point is this. God's compassion does not have a shelf life when you are obedient to him. God's compassion does not have a shelf life when you are obedient to him. You know, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard a lot of older ladies share this with me. If you have milk, now you know when you buy milk, you always look at the what? Expiration date. Because the expiration date says a lot, doesn't it? It lets you know that the very thing that you love could be the very thing after this date to make you sick. But I've heard that you can hack that. Now, hack is a 21st century term that you can turn it upside down and stretch it out a little bit longer than it has to be. They say if you freeze milk, I may not be correct in everything I'm saying, but just walk with me. I heard from some people that if you freeze it, it'll buy you a little bit more time. Am I right about it? Because when you freeze it, catch this, the bacteria that freely moves and grows stops in its place. Catch what I'm saying, saints. Sometimes we want compassion when we have our pain. But sometimes our compassion only requires us to stay obedient to God's call, stay obedient to the path, keep walking, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, keep trusting God, keep coming to church, even though all hell is breaking loose in your life, because the expiration date can get pushed back because God has a way of freezing the bacteria that will eat away at your mind, that will eat away at your soul, that will eat away at your mentality and mental health, because you have decided to stand still and see the salvation of God. When you're walking with the Lord, His compassion doesn't have an expiration date. He may wait till you're 80 before He drops that compassion on you. But keep believing. My second point, did y'all get my first point? What's the first point, saints? Understand, you have to be obedient. You can't turn your back on God and turn away from God and blaspheme God and act like you no longer know who God is or what He's done in your past. And then expect, once the wolves show up, that God's going to have compassion. It could be that God sent the wolves. Y'all not walking with me. All we're doing is reading the scriptures. That's all we're doing. Do you love the word? Do you love the scriptures? I'm finding out as I get older that when you read the scriptures, it keeps you from going insane. No, I'm not making this up. I strongly believe an antidote to mental illness is reading the Word of God as much as you can. I'm not there when I'm reading it every day. I'm confessing now. Maybe some of y'all are there. I try to read it every day, but sometimes I falter. But every time I read the scripture, my mind stays online. It's when you drift from the written word of God. See, David said, how can a young man cleanse his ways? How can he cleanse his ways? That means his ways had become contaminated by something that he did or didn't do. So how can he cleanse it? See, we all sometimes get our hands caught in the cookie jar of sin. All right? But then when we pull our hands out, we got a responsibility to do something about the cookie jar batter that's stuck on our hands. And the Bible says, how can a man cleanse his ways? By meditating on the word of God day and night. It is the word of God that is your antidepressant. It is the word of God that is your antipsychotic. It is the word of God that is your mood stabilizer. The old folks call it a mind regulator. But see, oh man, y'all just sitting there looking at me. Y'all got to understand. It will keep you mentally well. My second point, you ready for the second point? The second point is God's compassion can outperform reality. Let me say that again. Because we live in a world where we say it's real out here. Amen? We live in a world where we say keep it real. We live in a world to say, hey, yeah, God is powerful, but let's be real. As long as you have a let's be real mentality, you will never see how powerful God's compassion really can be. Because God's compassion can outperform or overrule reality. Let's keep going. Verse 8 says, now it happened that while he was performing his what? His duties. While he was performing his duties, his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of his priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So he's doing what he's been called to do. Amen. He's on the right path. Nobody has to go find him. All right? He's in line with the will of God. It says, while he's in this realm of obedience, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Now, we got to understand in the Bible, anything that's on the right side was a sign of authority, okay? It's a sign of power, okay? So Zacharias, who's loves the Lord, who's doing what God has called him to do, who's getting up there in age, he's an elderly man, he's still walking with the Lord in spite of his prayers not being answered, amen? And while he's in obedience, an angel shows up. Check this out, saints. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. And your wife, who? Elizabeth, will bear you a what? Son, and you will give him the name John. Now, I've asked Brother Steve to put the list of names on the screen. I did some studying on what all these names mean. And Steve, if you would be so kind to put that on the screen for us. Zacharias means the Lord remembers. All right, let's go to Elizabeth. Elizabeth means the oath of God. Keep going. John means the favor and grace of God. And Gabriel, the strong one of God. So let's put it all together. Here you have Zacharias, which means the Lord's remembers. How many of us needs God to remember us in our time of pain, in our time of need, in our time of distress, in our time of depression? You need God to remember you, because it's not that you are some careless thought. God remembers, and whoever he remembers, he has compassion on them. But since Zacharias is married to Elizabeth, amen, the Bible says when a man meets his wife, the two shall become one flesh. So I have to put the name Zacharias and Elizabeth together. And what does that give us? The Lord remembers his oath. Elizabeth was from the Aaron priesthood line. Zacharias was from Abijah. They come together, two strong people, equally yoked. This is why you better be careful who you yoke up with. You better be careful who you marry. You better know what their name means. Here you have Zacharias. The Lord remembers. He's connected himself to Elizabeth, which means the oath of God. So the Lord remembers his oath to who? To man. Well, what was the oath that God made? We got to go all the way back to Genesis for that. He made an oath with Abraham, the father of faith, that he will be a father of many nations. But then the name John, it's so fitting, because when you have compassion, you give favor. When you have compassion, you show grace. But not just grace, but amazing grace. This was not just favor. This was amazing grace. What made it so amazing? Because compassion has no shelf life. And two, compassion outperforms reality. Because God made an oath, catch this, because he remembered he had favor on his people who obeyed him, and his favor outperformed their feelings. His favor outperformed their condition. His favor outperformed their situation. I want to encourage us all today, regardless of the situation you find yourself in, as you're listening to me talk right now, understand that God's compassion is more powerful than your situation. And no man, no demon from the darkest abyss of hell can stop the power of God's compassion. Are y'all doing all right out there? Where did we stop? What verse did we stop on? 13. Does anyone need God's compassion right now? His name shall be called John. You will have what? Verse 14. Joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. Now, catch this. Before we go into the rest of this, let's go back. Let's go back to what the strong one of God, Gabriel. Now, if you don't know who Gabriel is, he's an archangel. He's a very, 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 very high-ranking angel. Gabriel has a whole lot of power. You will see Gabriel in the Old Testament. Even more than you see him in the New Testament. It was Gabriel who brought Daniel his answer to prayer. But we know Gabriel is not the most powerful angel because it was Michael. Because Gabriel said, oh my gosh. See, I can't put this together like I want to, but y'all gonna bear with me. Can y'all bear with me, please? Okay, let's go back.